He's all we need. Amen. We're complete in Him. Thank you, Leah. Leah's one of our members of one of our singing families also. We had the Azawardies up here. God's blessed us here at church to have some folks that just can bless our heart in the music and the singing, and we appreciate it very, very much. I want you to open your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Judges. We're going to ask you to go to the book of Judges. If you get to Joshua, go to Uriah. You remember God set up some judges following Joshua after Joshua was able to take the children of Israel over from Moses and lead them into the promised land. And I'd love to read you about three chapters, but it would probably wear out my welcome with some of you. So I'm going to read several verses, though, out of chapter 16 of the book of Judges, and a familiar story. I would give you some advice. If you just take time to read the story again, you know something about it, but just read it and think about it. There's a real blessing here in the story of Samson. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the double cross. The double cross. You know, we're having Roundup Sunday. And I said in the bulletin, we don't realize it, but a lot of times we still today are affected by what we call sometimes the code of the West. Like, for instance, you learned in the black and white shoot 'em up movies, it's wrong to shoot a guy in the back, right? Back shooter, that's the word we've learned. Setting an ambush, rustler, all those words we learned growing up as kids watching Roy Rogers or Gene Autry or the Three Musketeers or the Durango Kid. I'd just go on down the list. Clean movies back then. No cussing, no nudity. And would teach right from wrong. Teach morals, amen? But you have some of these words. You can think about a lot of these words. You'd have words like roundup and stampede and chuck wagon. But one word that was a bad word, and that was double cross. Double cross. And we're going to pick up a story that's got a lot of double crossing in it. And that's the story of Samson. Like I say, double cross is a bad thing. I think about the fellow on his deathbed. His wife had caught him cheating. She shot him. He was on his deathbed, and he was trying to clear his conscience, knew he was going to die soon. So he called for his business partner. Business partner come in, he said, look, he said, I'm trying to get forgiveness. He said, I done my wife wrong, I double-crossed her. I want you to know I double-crossed you. I've been stealing money from our company for a long time. Can you forgive me? Fella said, oh, it's all right. I think we're about even. Who do you think told you why? Sometime a little double-crossing goes a long way, amen? Story of Samson. Samson was a real person. He was probably the strongest man in the world. And it's from him and from the inspiration of Samson you get others you read about, like Hercules or Atlas, Greek mythical men that did not exist, but Samson was very real. God had a purpose in putting Samson here. You go all the way from Hercules of Greek mythology to your comic book Superman or somebody else. All those heroes, Samson is behind that. That's the foundation behind it. Picking it up here, I want us to drop down to verse 4 of chapter 16. Again, I wish I could read you about three chapters. I wish you'd read it and get all the story. It says, and it came to pass afterward, talking about Samson now, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was, and you know it, Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. See wherein his great strength lieth. I mean, he'd shown them his strength. Man, he killed 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass. So you believe that? Sure do. Sure do. He tied 300 foxes' tails together, put a firebrand between them, and sent them through the fields, the dry cornfields of the Philistines. They wanted to get rid of him. They couldn't whip him. They couldn't win over him. And so they entice him, they say, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Boy, money, still the love of money, the root of all evil. Amen. And Delilah said unto Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein is thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee? And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah saith unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. By the way, Samson was toying with her. There's a truth here about new ropes, and that they were made out of hair. He knew where he was going. He was having a little bit of fun here for a while. Then it says, Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hereunto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the barn, of the beam. And it was probably something like you'd see in a barn. And with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee? Men, watch this close. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Did you ever read in Proverbs where it says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a wide house with a brawling woman? I didn't write it. I just told you Proverbs says that. Go home and look it up. Say, where's it at? Read the whole book. It'll help you. Let me move on just a little bit. He told her all his heart now down in verse 17. And he told her, there's a little sign around here somewhere that says, turn off all cell phones when you come in church. And he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I will become weak like any other man. If you were to read Numbers chapter 6, you'd find out all the rules that a Nazarite separated unto God had to obey. One of them was the hair, the razor thing. And when Delilah saw this, Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, and sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and watch at this time, they brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wished not, or knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit his hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, That's their god, a fish god. By the way, you'll see on some TV programs where they're doing all these festivals in other places, and some of them in the name of Christianity, and you'll see some men with fish heads, hoods, caps, costume of fish head on their head. That's Dagon. Still doing it. Still doing it today. So they made a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God, watch it now, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, little g God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Now, I read quite a bit, but I want to say this. Samson was an unusual man. He didn't fit into the mold. He wasn't politically correct. And the truth is, today, anybody that really sells out to God, you'll be very unusual in this world. You won't fit. Folks won't understand you, and they'll be your enemy. But Samson was unusual here. He was a judge in Israel. God intended to do something with him. God raised up some judges. You remember? You remember people like Gideon and others, how God used them? And he brought Samson because the Philistines for 40 years had been afflicting the people of God, taxing them, taking their crops after they raised them, and doing all this. And God wanted to set them free, and he chose this judge, Samson. Now, there's a law here that's proved in this story. It's a scientific law. If you'll study history, you'll find out it is still true today. And that law is simply this, that man, no matter what dispensation God puts him in, no matter how God blesses, sooner or later, every dispensation ends, collapses in apostasy. That's what had happened to Israel. That's what's happened to America. We're in it right now. There's no doubt about it. This story reminds us that man is depraved, that when he turns his back on God, it's a dead-end street, and sooner or later, everything is going to collapse, and man cannot manage himself when he separates himself from God. That's what had happened in Israel, and they were in trouble. Now, this story here is full of what I call double-crosses. To begin with, Samson double-crosses his parents. See, his birth was announced to mom and dad. The rules to raise him were given. The rules are, like I say, you can read them in Numbers chapter 6. He was going to be a Nazarite, separated from his mother's womb to God. And he was not supposed to drink anything strong. He was not to have anything of the vine. And he was not to eat any unclean thing. And the parents were told how to raise Samson. And I believe they did their best to do that. But as he got up, probably an older teenager, he rebelled. He violated all the rules he'd been raised by. For instance, he saw a woman down in Timnath, and he said to his parents, I want her. And the mother said, you ought to marry in your own family, of your own people, of your own kin, of your own faith. But Samson said, she pleases me well. So he said, I want you to get her for me. On his way down to that city where she was, a young lion jumped out after Samson. And Samson was so strong, the Bible says he rent him like he would a lamb. Just tore him apart, killed the lion. Pushed him, I guess, off the road in the bushes and went on. Later on, when he's coming back, he checks on the lion's carcass. And inside that hide of that dead lion, the bees had made honey. Remember the story? And Samson took of the honey and ate, and he gave it to his parents, but he was violating Numbers chapter 6. He was not supposed to do that. He was not supposed to touch a dead body. Had he told mom and dad, they would have probably fussed about it. But he was double-crossing mom and dad. He was living his own way. So he goes down and he takes a wife of a pagan god, of a pagan family, not in the Jews and Israel like he was supposed to. So he's double-crossing his parents and all the rules they raised him by. As a pastor, I can tell you I see that all the time. All the time. It's too bad. This day and age, it's worse than I have ever seen it, and I've been at it a long, long time. But Samson double-crossed his parents, and then Samson double-crossed his nation. You see, he was placed in power to deliver from the Philistines, to save Israel, to break the bondage that had been on him for 40 years. And God had empowered him and made him strong for a purpose to deliver Israel. Our nation's purpose today was great in the beginning. God, I believe, raised America to send the gospel around the world. Raised America to show what a nation could be when that nation was the Lord God Jehovah himself. When our nation honored the word of God, we weren't about respect to the flag today. It's because we've lost respect for God and his word. And then the whole thing is we've double-crossed the Lord as a nation from the foundation. The sheriff referred to it a while ago, what our forefathers did and how our documents talk about God. But not anymore. Now that's offensive, so-called, to certain crowds. It's sad. We're double-crossing the God that made America great. Our nation's purpose was to be blessed of God, but to be used of God. And that was true for so long, but our nation's purpose today is being mocked. I saw where one university said it was an embarrassment to them because there was a club on their university against abortion, that was an embarrassment to them. They got some embarrassment coming when they faced the one that said, "Thou shalt not kill." They don't face the one that knew Jeremiah in his womb before he was ever born. There's going to be some embarrassing ahead of them, I'll tell them that, for sure. But our nation's purpose was to be used of God, and now in a lot of ways, the sad news is we've been mocked here and there. It is amazing. We had the previous president bring out and not only the gay marriage, but empower the so-called transgender movement and open the restrooms to male and female alike, perverts going in the men's room. You know the whole story. I cut this out of the sword of the Lord. Many of you, I hope you've already seen it. That'd be a good paper for you to take. Let me say something about this. This is defying God. It's almost like whatever God said is right, our laws are against what he said. And they want to make legal what God called evil and wrong. Now here's a case. Kindergarten teacher celebrates transgender change of five-year-old in class. This is out in California at the Rockland Academy Schools. And so the kindergarten teacher puts the kids up front, and they celebrate the fact that this boy is transgendering to a girl. So he comes in dressed as a boy. They have this ceremony. She sends him in the other room. He comes back dressed as a girl, and she teaches how good that is, and it's a ceremony to applaud. Little girls in that classroom go home and ask mom and dad, crying, "Am I going to change into a boy?" That is child abuse in the first class, boy. That's exactly what that is. It goes on here. First grader here sent to the principal's office for misgendering. Watch this. This kid supposedly changed, see, from a girl to a boy. First grader, same school, sent to the principal's office. The child's parents were contacted. This child had done a great offense, so the principal has to contact the parents. Here's the offense. Because this little girl in the playground called this other kid by the name, female name, she'd been calling her before she changed to a boy. This is a major offense. This is capital offense. Got to go to the principal, got to call the parents. And because this kid in the first grade called this little girl, I know, this little boy by the little girl's original name. Bunch of junk, folks. Bunch of junk. Hard to believe. Now, there's three captions here. They had a bunch more, but I just cut this one out. Teacher says to parents, "Tell your kids to stop talking about God at school." Isn't that sweet? See, what I'm trying to say is Israel got in trouble because they turned their back on God. God's raising up a deliverer here. He's trying to pull them back from the enemy. Our nation is slipping under the enemy's control because we've turned our back on God. And we've double-crossed God is what it really amounts to. I see Samson here double-crossing his nation. God raised him up to deliver them, to be a savior to them. But he double-crosses them. I see in America today, I saw where the ACLU, you know what that stands for, don't you? American Communist Lying Union. ACLU. Y'all write that down. Right side of it, original Mickey Carter. American Communist Lying Union suing President Trump because he brought in the executive order to stop the transgenders in the military. Do you understand what they're doing with your tax money? Some guy that goes in the military and says, I want $1 million surgery to make me a woman, and we pay for it, and vice versa, and we pay for it. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. We've made a laughingstock among other nations with that kind of foolishness. And no wonder we're not feared around the world like our armies used to be when we said that God was our God. Amen. Big difference now. Big difference. I see Samson here, though, double-crossing his nation. Then I see where Samson himself is double-crossed by others. I don't have time to tell you how many times. Boy, you reap what you sow. And Samson here is double-crossed by others. To begin with, he's double-crossed by his first wife. See, Delilah wasn't his wife. He actually went through a ceremony with a first woman, and she was of Dagon, the fish god. She was of the Philistines. You remember the story. Hollywood's made a big thing out of Samson. They got some of it right. But he goes for the wedding festival for 7 days there, and about 30 of her companions, Dagon worshipers, we're in there. And Samson, as a young man, proposes a riddle to him. Anybody remember that? And he said to him, all right, if you can discover my riddle, I'll give you so much clothing. If you can't, then you give me so much clothing. And so these other young men of the heathen men said, yeah, we'll challenge you. And he said, if you can do it during the 7 days of the festival, well, he knew about killing the lion and the honey in the lion, and nobody else did. So he made a riddle. He said, here's my riddle. He said, out of the eater came meat, and out of the strong came honey. They couldn't solve it. But they didn't want to pay up, so they start doing the same thing they did later to Delilah. They started enticing his bride-to-be. And they started telling her, find out from him. And finally, on the last day of the feast, they say to Samson, after she's squealed on him, after she's been used and nagged him and got the truth out of him, then they say to Samson, what could be stronger than a lion? And what could be sweeter than honey? They solved his riddle. He had to pay off. You know what he said? He said, you wouldn't have understood my riddle if you hadn't plowed with my heifer. That's a good roundup word for you, heifer. Some of you know, ought to look that up. All joking aside, this wife double-crossed him. She sold him out. She double-crossed him. And then you find in chapter 16, verse 4, where he falls for Delilah, and she finally nags, as we read, she finally nags the truth out of him, and he finally tells where the secret of his power is, and then we all know about the most expensive haircut in the world, don't we? It was the one Samson got. It even cost him his eyes. It cost him his testimony. It cost him so much, finally his life. Oh, they got him pulling the mill, blinded, mocking him, sporting. They put him in the presence of their god, Dagon. And they brag on their god being more powerful than the god of the Jews and the Israelites. And so they're mocking and doing all that. And you know what we got going on in America? We're trying to give credit to other gods instead of our God. See, in the public school, I just told you, a kid sent home or parents called and told not to talk about God in school. But if he'd been talking about Muhammad or Allah, been all right. See what's happened to us? All of a sudden, we're replacing our God with a pagan God. And we're mocking the true God and mocking his word, mocking his standards, and bringing a false God in his place. Islam's taking over in a lot of places, folks. It'll get to our little nook in the woods sooner or later. Already, somewhat. Michelle Bachmann, you might remember her. She ran in one of the Republican primaries a few years ago. She's a very conservative congresswoman from Minnesota. Michelle Bachmann just said, now I saw in the paper this article, she said it's changed our state, that we have let these Muslims come in and create their own communities and create their own laws, and said the very complexion and nature of our society has been changed in a whole state. That's a congresswoman that said that. But we keep doing it, don't we? And the liberal judges stop our president from even putting a band on and limiting the number. Help yourself. I know you're not going to hear this everywhere, but you came here one time. You hear it whether you ever hear it again or not. Amen. The truth is, we're betraying the God that made America great. Praising false gods. Giving them room in the classroom as we kick our God out. That's what it amounts to. Well, I want to say this, and I'm glad I can say it. While Samson double-crossed his parents, double-crossed his nation. Samson himself was double-crossed. We read about it, what Delilah did to him. I told you about what his first wife did to him. Even some of the men in the village that he was trying to protect, they even said, let us bind you. They were willing to sell out because the Philistines were on top of them so bad. Samson got betrayed from every direction except one. God didn't betray him. God didn't double cross him. No, he didn't. God still used him. Remember how the story wound up? We see him grinding with his eyes out at the mill, making sport of him, mocking him, praising their God over Samson's God. What a terrible thing. Strongest man in the world brought down to that level, humiliated like that. But you remember the story? They had to have a little boy with him to lead him around. And he asked that little boy to show him where the pillars were. You got to remember there were several hundred, maybe thousands of the Philistines. It was a festival day. It was a big day in their religion. And they were all over that temple. And they were up on the top floors. And Samson is down below. And he's the main sport of that day. But the little boy helps him place his hands on the pillars. Remember the story that held up the temple? And then Samson bowed his head one more time and asked God to give him strength one more time. And God didn't double cross him. He empowered him, and he brought the pillars down. He brought the temple down. Yes, he died in it, but he killed more, the scripture says, in his death than he ever did in his life. And he killed a pile of them in his life. Even in his death, he done what God intended for him to do, and that was set the Israelites free from the bondage of the Philistines. God didn't double cross him. He still had his purpose accomplished. Oh, it'd have been much better had Samson done right. What could he have done had he stayed right? But even in his backslidden, ungodly position, he still knew who to call on. As a pastor, I've seen a lot of people go way away from God. But in the critical moment, they still knew what they'd done, who they'd left, and who to call on to get back. I say to you, don't do like Samson. Don't run away from God. Don't do your own thing, your own selfish thing. God's got a plan for Samson. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for you. The best thing for you and I to do is stay side of God and let his plan work out through our lives. Now, God didn't double cross Samson at all. because God is never defeated. You know what the scripture says? It says one day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The Father is still going to get glory in an old sin-cursed world. Oh, yes, Jesus is coming back and set up his kingdom. Oh, yes, the pillars of evil are going to be brought down. We do live in an evil day. You heard the sheriff say it. You can't explain the shooting in Vegas. You can't explain what happened in our neighborhood. And by the way, you ought to shake the sheriff's hand because he caught that guy. Amen. If you saw the paper yesterday, he got that rascal that did that awful crime. I'm talking about a few blocks from here. Evil is real, but it's not going to win in the long run. The Lord is still going to have his way. He's still going to make it happen like he wants to, and he's still going to set his son on David's throne to rule over this world and show them what it would be like had they stayed with God. Oh yeah, God's never defeated. One day, even lost men, ungodly men, the Hugh Hefners and others of this world are going to bow their knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Too late for their soul, but they're going to give glory to God in the end anyway. Yes, it's going to happen. See, Jesus is Lord. And you can double cross God all you want to. And when you reject Jesus Christ, that's what you're doing. He gave his only begotten son to save your soul, to die for your sins, to pay a price you couldn't pay. And when you say no to Jesus, you are trying to double cross God. Did you ever think about that? See an old Western movie where one partner doubles crosses another and you say, that's bad. How about double crossing the God that gave you life, gave you breath, gave you family, gave you loved ones, gave you health, and gave you the good news that his son died for your sins? Double cross him? That's an awful thing. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about the person that does despite to the grace of God and tramples underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. Now get the picture. Tramples underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. Trodden underfoot, it says in Hebrews 10. Trodden underfoot the blood of God's Son. That's double-crossing God. I read the story a long time ago, many years back. It happened. Some man had been in prison a while for an awful crime, but he got out. Somehow or another, after he got out, he had nowhere to go, nowhere to live, and nobody trusted him. But his grandmother took him in. She fed him. She washed his clothes. She gave him a place to sleep. She gave him of her substance. And then one day, the news went around the community. The grandmother had been found dead, brutally mutilated, apparently stomped on by her killer. As the country neighbors gathered in and the sheriff came in, the man that was her grandson that had done it, he showed up in the crowd and faked being shocked and faked being loving his grandma and who in the world would do this. But somebody noticed that he had blood in the cracks on his boots. And in a little while, they figured out it was him that had used those very boots to stomp the life out of his grandmother because he thought she had some money hid she wouldn't tell him about. And I thought how awful that is. Double cross his grandmother like that, not appreciate anything. Nobody else would help him. She helped him, and yet he would do that. And I thought, how awful, how awful. But you read Hebrews 10 and find out
That's what we do to God's Son when we reject Him. The shed blood of the one that loved us above anybody else, paid a higher price for us than anybody else could pay. To reject Him is to trod on the foot the blood of Jesus Christ. And that verse, Hebrews 10, says how much sore punishment think these are that do that. No, God doesn't overlook it. I say to you today, don't double cross God. Let Jesus, His Son, be your Savior. If you haven't, right now, today is the time to do it. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we've only touched a great story, but Lord, we see so much in it. And Father, we see with all that you've done for the young man, Samson, how he still double-crossed you. And yet how you didn't forsake him and you came back and you still used him. Father, there may be some here in the role of Samson this morning in Radio Land or in this building. And if they tell the truth, they've double-crossed parents the way they were raised. They've double-crossed society that's tried to get them to do right. And worst of all, Father, greatest of all, they've double-crossed you that gave your Son on the cross of Calvary to die for them. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation. Lord, I pray not one would leave here and, as it were, walk on the blood of Jesus Christ and turn their back on your only begotten Son. I pray you'd bless the invitation. Somebody might ought to move a membership. Somebody might ought to come for rededication. But, Father, most of all, we fear for and we care about that soul that's closest to hell today because they've double-crossed the only offering, the only answer, the only way to be saved, and that's your Son. Bless, I pray, in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
Just as I